Welcome to Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We are so glad you could join us today. The Crosstalk podcast is in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And now, here are your hosts, Charles and Daniel.
As always, we enjoy being with you each week as we gather to discuss the things of our God. And we are talking about worship, have been talking about worship over the last several weeks. In particular, what this series is called is Theology for Doxology. And I'll just say this, I think today we're going to get a little bit more into the theological aspect of our worship. I know we touched on that when we talked about who is our God and what is he to us. And we're going to continue to talk about that. But in this idea and vein of wonder, last week, if you joined us, we talked about kind of the negative aspect of wonder and in some ways did very much a cultural analysis of our wonder and how we're right. So distracted and seduced by things that just are inadequate to really produce worship, and that's what we're trying to go towards. We want to move now from distraction, though, to delight. You know, we want to talk about what is our delight? Who do we delight in? And then, therefore, what does that mean? Maybe we could say wonder to worship.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We're transitioning from just wonder to delight or worship. And so last week we ended with the question, is wonder wrong? And I think today we're going to answer that question, because
right.
wonder's
right.
not wrong.
Right.
Just get that out on the table.
No,
it's not wrong. It's very much what we need to be
right.
doing.
Right. Well, wonder is natural, but we want to move it from being just natural to supernatural.
Right. Well, which goes back to the power of God
right.
and who he is.
Yeah.
And he is all-powerful. The word power can be overused a lot, but it is true.
Like the word awesome can
yeah,
be overused, yeah.
right.
Misused or,
right.
or and it loses its meaning, yeah.
So if we are to move from distraction, which was kind of our focus last week, to delight, and obviously ultimately we're talking about worship, how do we do that? How do we have the wonder of worship or the wonder for worship?
Well, here's the thing about the whole issue up to this point, as we discussed last week, and that is if we find wonder, ultimate wonder, in the wrong things, if we have misplaced wonder, what does that lead to? Why do we have people who have it all? Why do we have people who have achieved sad or disappointed?
That's a real thing. I mean, you see it all over the place. I mean, I've known people, I've had friends in the past where they were never happy, and yet they had things.
Right.
Or even if everything was going well, they were still unhappy.
That's interesting. I want to bring up a personal illustration, because our pastor made an observation of someone about how, I don't know, sad, disappointed their demeanor was. They didn't seem to have joy.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife made the comment to him, well, they've been through a lot. He said, you've been through a lot. He said, do you have joy?
Right. It's true. That makes sense.
I only say that to say, and I'm not joyful all the time, and we're not joyful all the time. We can find plenty to complain about. But I only say that to say that you can... It's perspective is very important here. You brought up last time, you brought up Solomon. And Solomon certainly was the guy who had every reason to be happy, to be joyful, and to be full of wonder in the right way. He had a harem full of women, so he had his pick.
He had several hundred of them, by the way.
Lots of money. He had a fame, an achievement. He was at the pinnacle of what was great in his nation and in his culture and in his religion.
Right.
And yet he writes a book, and one of the main things we remember from that book is vanity of vanity, all is vanities. And often he would say, he would describe situations, and then he would say, this too is vanity.
It's a very sweeping statement, by the way. It's very sweeping, it's very all-encompassing.
And very pessimistic.
Yeah.
Now, he gets to the right thing.
Right.
He's making a point in his that these things didn't make him happy. He was sad in spite of all these things. He was disappointed in spite of all these things. And so he's sort of the ultimate biblical example of misplaced wonder. Stuff, wealth, magnificence all around, surrounded by magnificence, thought of across the world as the wisest of men. He had a reputation that was incredible, and yet he was disappointed with life.
You know, it's interesting. My son has a lot of Legos. Whether it's you guys.
He does indeed.
Well, whether it's you guys, us, or the other grandparents, or aunts and uncles, seems to be the thing that he gets all the time, which will probably happen on his birthday here pretty soon. Well, birthday passed now that we're recording this. But it never ceases to amaze me. He comes up and talks to me about the next one he wants to get. So it's not really satisfying, even though he enjoys it, and he does.
You never get to saturation point, really, that we talked about. Right. You never get to the point where, I've got enough. Right. It's like I remember a fellow saying, he quoted a rich man who was asked how much money was enough, and he said, just a little bit more. Mm. And it's that way with, it's like I tell people, I don't eat donuts. And it's not that I don't like them, it's just that if I eat one, I want another one. Right. And if I eat two, I'll want three. The thing about the human appetite for wonder, for excitement, for fulfillment is unending, at least in our natural.
So if we're kind of playing off of last week, we're talking about being saddened by wonder. We're really talking about the disappointment that comes from misplaced wonder.
Exactly.
Yeah, because and that's what we really delved into last week. So if we're going to turn this to the positive direction, we're going to turn the corner here and we're going to have wonder for worship, okay, which is where we're really trying to get, then what do we do? Like, where do we go? Whom do we look? I think the obvious Sunday school answer would be Jesus. But hey,
right,
my good place to start.
Well, there's a transition. We spoke of Solomon. I think of Paul the Apostle. He was at the pinnacle of his career, if you want to call it that. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was, I mean, Judaism looked to him as the man.
Right.
But something happened in his life when he met Christ. And if you're familiar with the New Testament at all, you know he met Christ on the road to Damascus and he was stricken with blindness, but his life transitioned so that we come to something that Scripture shows us, and it is that we're saved for wonder.
So basically, our God in Jesus Christ has redeemed us for worship of His great name.
Yeah, if we think that stuff and money and fulfillment in an earthly sense are the ultimate wonder, we will be disappointed.
Well, let me ask this in a different way. If we are believers and we're redeemed and we are walking in the sanctification process, which we've talked about on Crosstalk many, many times, so we don't want to delve into actual what does it mean to be sanctified. But if we're walking into the sanctifying process, is it possible that the good things of life should push us toward the glorious realities of God in Christ?
I think so. I think if that's not what's happening, then there comes that disappointment. That shortfall, that sense of, well, I need more of this, when, no, you don't need more of it. You need to see that the ultimate place where our wonder is focused and our worship is focused.
So as a saved person,
God.
As a redeemed person, we now look at all those things in a different light.
Right.
We're looking at them as means to steward for the glory of God, for His given worth to His great name. So I'm going to use something real practical here. You have a home, and maybe it's designed in such a way it facilitates people really well. You have people in, and you're discipling people, and you're encouraging people, maybe through small group or whatever. Now your home, a very nice home.
You're investing in other people.
Is now being used to glorify God's name. Worship is happening, you know, or just in your own family.
Right.
Together. And that's a real simplistic example. I think there are other ways we can look at, but I think we now turn the negative into the positive.
Well, you know, last week we quoted our pastor, And I want to go back to that quote because we really live for feelings. You know, we want to feel that wonder. We want to feel happy, feel good. And he made the comment in his sermon a couple of weeks ago that the Christian experience is not feeling, but it is felt. The feeling comes as a result of the wonder we have, the worship we give toward our Savior, toward our Lord. And that the more we focus on the greatness of our God, the less we see the ultimate greatness of the things about us that are there to point us to the real one that deserves the wonder.
Is it possible, or maybe we should say this, if we claim the name of Christ, we're saved, we know Christ, and we don't have that wonder, we should start asking why?
That's a question begging to be asked. It is.
Because if we are not finding any type of wonder, then our heart has gotten in such a place that we're definitely, I don't want to say dead because we're alive in Christ. That would not be a good statement. But there is a sense in which maybe we've quenched the Spirit. We have not allowed the Spirit of God to renew and to encourage and comfort and guide us as He's supposed to do.
Yeah, Keith Green wrote a song years ago, my eyes are dry, my prayers are cold, my heart is hard. He says, I know how I ought to be, alive to God and dead to me. So what can be done for an old heart like mine? To soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your Spirit of love. Mm-hmm. Please wash me anew in the wine of your love. And that confession and song should be ours. We're easily cold to spiritual things and warm to temporal things. And I think that hymn we sing, I don't know if it gets sung as much as it used to, but How Great Thou Art. That ought to be a real expression of our hearts. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul. Yeah. We go back to think, which we talked about last year.
Yeah.
What are we giving our mind to so that our wonder might be in the thing that is most wonderful?
Well, I think the theological concept we're talking about here is that a redeemed people must think redeemed thoughts, which then therefore create wonder. Mm. Meditating upon the things of God, which then create wonder.
Yeah.
Viewing God, looking at God, tasting God, delighting in God, and therefore creating wonder, which then translates really to worship.
And realizing that who in the world has more to be in wonder of than the child of God?
Yeah, because we've been saved from that which we could not save ourselves from. We have been redeemed by the power of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I often go back to this, and I think a few episodes back, I mentioned this concept that whether you've lived in a horrible home, parents who didn't love God, or you grew up in a Christian home, we all have to deal with God in the same way.
Right.
And in our hearts must then have wonder of who He is for what He has done for us.
Yeah. Which I think leads us to this whole concept of satisfaction, being satisfied with wonder. To see the wonder we talked about before, that there's not satisfaction.
Right.
A good meal satisfies you.
For the moment.
For the moment. Sexual satisfaction is temporary, is temporal. All of the earthly things that satisfy only satisfy temporarily.
They are but a foretaste of that which will satisfy ultimately.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I thought of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, does that mean we don't keep hungry? No, that it's a strange conundrum. We hunger, and yet we're filled, and yet this hunger is constantly being satisfied. This thirst is constantly being satisfied. And I think of Augustine. Probably the most famous quote from Augustine is from his Confessions. And he said, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we rest in you. There's where the satisfaction comes, that sense that our God is our all in all, that every need we have, every need we will ever have, is found in Christ. You know, was it a couple of weeks or so ago, I preached on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And we ended that with saying that Christ is our Sabbath. He's our rest. We rest in Him. He is our ultimate place of fulfillment and wonder and joy and worship.
So we can know a wonder that is satisfying.
That's right. And
even wonder in things of this earth that can ultimately be satisfying.
We can enjoy those.
Yeah, more so.
Knowing
more
so. That they come from the ultimate source of goodness and wonder.
We of all people who are redeemed should enjoy things to the uttermost.
Right, yeah. And know the difference between giving ourselves to that completely and knowing the limits of this life's wonder.
Right.
You know. And there are different and finding wonder in the smallest things. Some of us can't afford the most expensive things. I can't afford to go to the Swiss Alps.
Right.
I'd love to.
Right.
But I can find joy in the gifts of God. I don't have to. Is that a dream? It is. It's a dream. But that doesn't have to happen for me to have a sense of joy and wonder in my God. He's not shortchanged me.
No.
I'm not come up short, you know. And then thank the Lord, you know, that I have much more to be, much more. It's interesting that phrase came up in Romans. Much more, Paul said in the King James. He keeps saying much more. And that's what we have in Christ. Yeah. We have much more. So there's this, our satisfaction is in this great God, this omnipotent God. You mentioned this holy God, this wonderful God who has set His love upon us.
Yeah, so we really have to get to the point where we're not distracted, but we're delighting.
Yeah, yeah.
We're delighting in Christ, in the things that He has given us, because He has given them to us. I mean, the Scripture tells us to, you know, delight in all things. That's a paraphrase. But, I mean, we are to find joy in all things. God has given us all things. That's the one I was thinking of trying to think. All things
richly
to enjoy.
Yeah.
And we almost sound a little bit like Piper right now, because Piper really talks about a lot of this idea of satisfaction in Christ, which then leads to ultimate joy and delight.
He talks about the dangerous duty of delight.
Right. So if we want wonder for worship or wonder to worship, then we must focus upon the person of Christ and what He has done for us.
Yeah. And this is what, you know, there was a song came out a few years ago, and there was a verse of that song that the Celtic women sang in particular, and it really speaks to this whole thing that we're talking about. There is no life without its hunger. So there's this hunger that we talk about. The blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This restless heart beats so imperfectly. Yeah, we never get this down completely here, right? But when you come and I am filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. To me, that describes us as the people of God. We are in search of being what God would have us to be. We are in search of knowing our God more, of knowing His wonder more, giving Him glory more in our sanctification so that we grow and grow more in this sense of righteous wonder.
Yeah, any euphoria that we know right now, any wonder, any excitement and emotional even experience is but a foretaste of what we will know in heaven. It's but a taste of it.
Yeah, I was thinking how little we know of that eternal wonder, and yet how much we long for it. We long for the battle of sin to be over, the battle with sin, and the distractions of this life to be no more, so that our joy is completely complete, if I could be redundant, you know.
Yeah.
And that day is coming for those of us who know Christ.
Yeah.
But until then.
Well, and I think it's so good that we talked last week about the negative, because you identify the problem, and now we have the solution. Okay. Now this week it's the solution.
Right.
We now want to wonder at all things for the glory of God. You know,
yeah.
Even the wickedness of this world will be used to praise him. The right. evil is caused to praise him, right. which is a mind-blowing concept that we don't even have time to dig into, but and theologians have dug into in much greater depth. But I think we have to realize that we cannot grow disheartened. We must realize that God will glorify himself, and he can fill us with wonder so that we might bring glory to him.
Yeah, and when we come to see, back to this whole thing of theology for doxology, that what we know of God is not so that we have a head full of knowledge, but that we have a heart full of praise and wonder at our God.
Amen.
And that's where we're going. That's what we want. That's what we want as the people of God.
Absolutely. Well, we hope your heart has been encouraged as we've talked about the negative last week, but now the positive this week. And as we've talked about, what is the solution? May we wonder in Christ and Christ alone. Hope you have a good week, and we'll join you next week here on Crosstalk.
Thanks, everyone, so much for joining us today. You can always visit us on the web at crosstalkpodcast.org. Crosstalk is produced by Vision for Living Ministries, a nonprofit organization. This podcast is a free resource, but you can support us financially through our website. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website at visionforliving.org, where you will find more great resources. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Vision for Living, or on Twitter at V4L. We also love to hear from our listeners. You can email us anytime at info@visionforliving.org. Be sure to join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.